Today is Wednesday, December the 11th. Welcome to the award-winning Personal Computer Show. I'm Hank Key. Hurricane storms Helene and Milton have destroyed whole communities in the southeastern United States. You can make a difference. There are still many people in recovery mode. You can play a vital role in helping those affected to recover and rebuild their lives. Your donations to the Red Cross will help deliver essential services and supplies to those in need. Big Tech has been collecting and aggregating your personal data. Do you know how big tech companies and our government are using your personal data? We have been bringing computer news, hardware and software reviews, guest interviews, and news of user group meetings for the past 40-plus years. The Personal Computer Show is a 3-time winner of the prestigious National Computer Press Awards. Our only advocacies are consumerism and the First Amendment. I welcome you, the listeners, to provide feedback as to what you want to hear. Address your suggestions to Hank at pcradioshow.org. Our website is pcradioshow.org. We are heard each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.live. That's PRN.LIVE, streaming on the Internet. Podcasts of the program is available on PRN.live on the Internet. You can leave us a message with your questions or comment at hank@pcradioshow.org. Late breaking news. Microsoft bends a little on installing Windows 11 on older hardware, with a caveat. Microsoft allows Windows 11 to be installed on older, unsupported hardware, but specifically nixes official support. Minimum requirements for full compatibility remains unchanged. Can they still be considered minimum requirements if they are easily circumvented? Microsoft now allows users to install Windows 11 on unsupported hardware, but it warns of potential instabilities with this type of install and does not guarantee official support, updates, or compatibility. Just a week ago, the firm published a blog post stipulating TPM 2.0 as a compulsory requirement for Windows 11. This new guide from Microsoft notes that you can install the operating system on devices that don't support the operating system, but warns of problems that you'll encounter when installing the operating system on devices that don't meet the requirements, while also providing instructions on how to undo the upgrade if you run into unforeseen problems. At this point, almost everyone knows that Windows 11's TPM requirements can easily be circumvented through a simple registry tweak. However, apart from that, Microsoft confirms that Windows 11 can officially be installed on devices that don't meet the requirements. However, it warns users that they should be comfortable running into compatibility issues. To see if your PC is compatible with Windows 11, use the PC Health Check app to assess Windows 11 eligibility. The move comes as Windows 10 approaches end of life in October 2025. As we speak, 61.82% of Windows users are on Windows 10, and nudging them to upgrade the hardware really isn't a worthwhile solution. Apart from that, a number of these Windows 10 systems are used in schools, offices, and service with limited budgets. The problem is that you can't get everyone to comply with your requirements, even if they're valid. When installing on unsupported hardware, Microsoft will push a small disclaimer that effectively cancels your warranty in case of compatibility-related mishaps. Likewise, you won't be entitled to receiving updates, including security updates. So, we're back to square one. To further notify users of their incompatible hardware, a small watermark will be displayed on the desktop, followed by a notification in the settings panel. So while Microsoft has made it possible to get Windows 11 working on older machines, they're actively discouraging it. Assuming you shifted to Windows 11 and wish to revert, Microsoft allows you to roll back to Windows 10 within 10 days of the upgrade. Technically speaking, Windows 10 support isn't going anywhere anytime soon, provided you can pay Microsoft $30 every year. The safest bet is to upgrade your system or see if you can install a TPM chip on your existing motherboard to save some cash. You may also use Windows 11 and hope nothing goes wrong. Or you can simply ditch Windows. Follow your dual booting guide for Ubuntu to dive into open source world of Linux. Need I say more? Google Maps now display incident reports from the Waze community, showing alerts like police reported ahead. The bottom sheet with the report disappears after a while and can be manually closed, ensuring minimal distraction for drivers. The feature may not be widely available yet, with only a few users reporting its visibility. In late July, Google said it would bring a bunch of changes to the Maps app, including improved incident reporting. Google also said it would make it easier to log incident reports with assistance from the Maps and Waze communities. At the same time, Waze said that users would soon see reports from its users directly in the Google Maps app. A few months after the announcement, Google Maps is now beginning to display incident reports from the Waze community. Reporting by a Reddit user, a bottom sheet appears during navigation with alert report, which in this case is police reported ahead. Right below it, you see the attribution to Waze, followed by are you still there, with the large yes or no buttons below. To ensure that you're not too distractive while driving, this bottom sheet disappears for a while, though you can choose to close it immediately by tapping the X icon on the top right of the sheet. It's not widely available just yet. It doesn't appear to be rolling out widely, however, with only the aforementioned Reddit user and another user in the comments section reporting the feature's visibility. It could also be limited to some regions, at least for the time being, though confirmation is not readily available. As 9to5 points out, any cooperation between the two Google-run navigation apps makes a great deal of sense. While there may be times when you find inaccurate incident reports while driving, the large yes and no buttons ensure fellow motorists get the correct info in real time. This comes after Google Maps replaced speed traps with a police option in the incident reporting menu last week. This feature was also first announced by Google in late July, along with a handful of other upgrades to both Maps and Waze. Are you seeing incident reports from Waze in the Google Maps app yet? Well, if not, I hope you get it soon. Landlords are using AI to raise rents. If you've hunted for apartments recently and felt like all the rents were equally high, you're not crazy. Many landlords now use a single company's software which uses an algorithm based on proprietary lease information to help set rent prices. Federal prosecutors say the practice amounts to an unlawful information sharing scheme, and some lawmakers throughout California are moving to curb it. San Diego City Council president is the latest to do so, proposing a ban that would prevent local apartment owners from using the pricing service, which he maintains is driving up housing costs. San Diego's proposed ordinance, which is currently being drafted, comes after San Francisco enacted a first-in-the-nation ban on the sale or use of algorithmic devices to set rents or manage occupancy levels for residents in July. San Jose is considering a similar approach. Similar bans have passed or are being considered across the country. In September, the Philadelphia City Council passed a ban on algorithmic rental price fixing with a veto-proof vote. New Jersey has been considering its own ban. In August, the Department of Justice and the Attorney Generals of 8 states, California, North Carolina, Colorado, Connecticut, Minnesota, Oregon, Tennessee, and Washington, filed an antitrust lawsuit against RealPage, the leading rental pricing platform based in Texas. The complaint alleges that RealPage is an algorithmic intermediary that collects, combines, and exploits landlords' competitively sensitive information. And in doing so, it enriches itself and compliant landlords at the expense of renters who pay inflated prices. RealPage has been a major impetus for all the actions. Some officials accuse the company of gaming competition that would otherwise drive rents down, exacerbating the state's housing shortage and driving up rents in the process. RealPage responded with the following statement. We are disappointed that, after multiple years of education and cooperation on the antitrust matters concerning RealPage, the Justice Department has chosen this moment to pursue a lawsuit that seeks to scapegoat pro-competitive technology that has been used responsibly for years. The company statement read in part, RealPage's revenue management software is purposely built to be legally compliant, and we have a long history of working constructively with the department to show that. RealPage spokesperson said that a lack of housing supply, not the company's technology, is the real problem, and that its technology benefits residents, property managers, and others associated with the rental market. As for the federal lawsuit, the company called the claims in it devoid of merit and said it plans to vigorously defend ourselves against these accusations. In 2020, a markup and New York Times investigation found that RealPage, alongside other companies, used faulty computer algorithms to do automated background checks on tenants. As a result, tenants were associated with criminal charges they never faced and denied homes. Is it price fixing or just coaching landlords? Walmart buys Vizio to use its TVs as a new way to blast you with ads. Walmart paid $2.3 billion for Vizio with its SmartCast operating system, along with the 19 million accounts it can advertise to. All those Vizio TVs in Walmarts across the globe will now be owned by Walmart itself. Walmart bought the TV maker for $2.3 billion. At first, you may assume Walmart wants to use the brand as its main TV for in-store and online shoppers. But according to the retail giants, it's all to put its own ads on Vizio brand smart TVs. Walmart bought the TV maker Vizio for $2.3 billion, and this includes Vizio's SmartCast operating system, which Walmart said in a release will enable it to market new and different ways for advertisers to meaningfully connect with customers at scale. The retail giant said it will use Walmart Connect to boost advertisers' messages through Vizio TVs. Vizio's SmartCast enable viewers to stream some content through ads with services like WatchFree+. Now Walmart will have access to 19 million active accounts logged on to Vizio services. The big box retailer said it will continue to operate separately for the foreseeable future while Vizio CEO William Wang continues as CEO. Still, Vizio is now a full subsidiary of Walmart, requiring all the information to be shared between both parties. The Federal Trade Commission had settled with Vizio for around $2.2 million after a ProPublica report showed the company collected and sold user data to advertisers without permission. Vizio and practically every other smart TV maker has massive data harvesting networks that collect information about what you watch, when you watch it, what ads you sit through, and so much more. Vizio has continued as a major advertising business through its ad-based offerings. The Walmart Connect platform connects advertisers with its users and products. The two services combined will balloon the number of data points it can sell to advertisers. Vizio is one of the more popular TV brands with pretty good quality for their cheap price. unlike cheaper TV brands that rely on existing TV operating systems like Google TV or Amazon Fire TV. Vizio also uses its own SmartCast interface to let you access your TV apps or attach devices. WatchFree+ is a big part of it, so it's one of the first promoted apps that prominently display TV shows on its user interface. Walmart's biggest competitor, Amazon, is also all in on TV advertising. Amazon had its own self-branded TV since 2021, and last month it started selling its mini LED TVs under the new Omni branding. These, of course, use Amazon's Fire TV for its operating system by default. Last year, Amazon said it could reach 155 million monthly viewers across all its ad platforms, whether it's website or Prime Video. Director of Fire TV Advertising, Charlotte Maines, waxed on about the awesome capabilities of ads on Fire TV with Stream TV. This will include personalized relevant display ads based on their searches or other watch data. Walmart seems to think it needs to compete in the smart TV segment, especially if it doesn't have to get bogged down in the haze of costly streaming services. Verizon customers are furious after the company increased a monthly fee again. Companies are always coming up with ways to bill their users with high fees. Verizon's administrative and telco recovery charge resulted in a lawsuit. The company has learned nothing, as one furious Reddit user has discovered, and is going to increase the monthly charge again. Verizon fee is going up again. It will now be $3.50 per voice line and $1.60 per data line. The administrative and telco recovery charge, which was known as the administrative charge before June 2022, helps the company cover some direct and indirect expenses, such as the cost of complying with regulatory obligations, property taxes, and network maintenance charges. The administrative and telco recovery charge was previously $3.30 per voice line, and starting this month, it will increase to $3.50. Customers think they are wrongfully subjected to the fee. They are not willing to put up with the increase. Some are already plotting a switch. Others are considering writing to the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. The admin fee is nothing but an increase in price across the board, even for current customers on their most current plan. When you consider the fact that the administrative charge was only 40 cents per month when it was first introduced in 2005, it's easy to see why customers are not willing to let any more increases slide. The fee was mostly recent increased from $1.95 to $3.30 in June of 2022. Verizon previously agreed to settle for $100 million after it was accused of levying administrative charges to boost its revenue and not adequately disclosing them. The carrier admitted no wrongdoing, but decided to resolve the lawsuit by offering money, which is what companies often do when they want to avoid lengthy court battles. Verizon notes on its website that the charges are subject to change from time to time. When settling the lawsuit, the company made it clear it might hike the fee again. The company also revealed that most customers who sued did not terminate service after the administrative charge was introduced. Perhaps that's what gave the company confidence to slap another increase. Verizon also contends that the administrative charge was adequately disclosed to consumers at the time they signed up Verizon services, since Verizon advertisements listing the monthly rate stated, plus fees and taxes. Verizon further contends that plaintiffs' claims are subject to a voluntary payment defense and that few Verizon customers ever complain about the administrative charge, while most of the plaintiffs and proposed class members continue their month-to-month service after the administrative charge began appearing on their wireless bills. So what they're saying is, you really haven't complained, and that's why they keep doing it. Google's breakthrough artificial intelligence weather prediction model. The latest forecast tool out of DeepMind shows how artificial intelligence could revolutionize the way we predict the weather. Google's DeepMind team released its latest weather prediction model, which outperforms a leading traditional weather prediction model across the vast majority of tests put before it. The generative AI model is dubbed GenCast, G-E-N-C-A-S-T, and it is a diffusion model. Based on the team's test, GenCast is better at predicting extreme weather, the movement of tropical storms, and the force of wind gusts across Earth's mighty sweeps of land. The team's discussion of GenCast performance was published in the magazine Nature. Where GenCast departs from other diffusion models is that it is weather-focused and adapted to the spherical geometry of the Earth. GenCast's input is the most recent state of the weather, which the model then uses to generate a probability distribution of future weather scenarios. Traditional weather prediction models like ENS, the leading model from the European Center for Medium-Range Weather Forecasts, make their forecasts by solving physics equations. One limitation of these traditional models is that the equations they solve are only approximations of the atmospheric dynamics. The GenCast model published includes architectural changes and an improved diffusion setup that made the model better trained to predict weather on Earth, including extreme weather events up to 15 days out. GenCast is not limited to learning dynamic patterns that are known exactly and can be written down in an equation. Instead, it has the opportunity to learn more complex relationships and dynamic directly from the data, and this allows GenCast to perform traditional models. Google has been tooling around with weather prediction for a while, and in recent years have made a couple substantive steps towards more precise forecasting using AI methods. The resolution achieved by GenCast is roughly six times that of NeuroGCM, but that was expected. NeuroGCM is designed as a general-purpose atmospheric model primarily to support climate modeling, whereas the higher resolution of GenCast is often expected for operational medium-range forecast models, which is GenCast's specific target use case. The development of GenCast, a machine learning weather prediction model, marks a significant milestone in the evolution of weather forecasting. What does all this mean for you? Well, the DeepMind team has made the GenCast code open source and the models available for non-commercial use, so you can tool around if you're curious. The team is also working on releasing an archive of historical and current weather forecasts. This will enable the wider research and meteorological community to engage with, test, run, and build on your own work, accelerating further advances in the field. The accuracy of such tools will be paramount for predicting extreme weather events with enough lead time to protect those in harm's way, be it from floods in Appalachia or tornadoes in Florida. FBI warns iPhone and Android users, stop sending texts. Timing is everything. Just as Apple's adoption of RCS had seemed to signal a return to text messaging versus the unstoppable growth of WhatsApp, then along comes a surprising new hurdle to stop that in its tracks. While messaging Android to Android or iPhone to iPhone is secure, messaging from one to the other is not. Now even the FBI and CISA, the U.S. Cyber Defense Agency, are warning Americans to use responsibly encrypted messaging and phone calls where they can. The backdrop is the Chinese hacking of U.S. networks that is reportedly ongoing and likely larger in scale than previously understood. Fully encrypted communications is the best defense against this compromise, and Americans are being urged to use that wherever possible. The network cyber attacks attributed to SALT Typhoon, a group associated with China's Ministry of Public Security, has generated heightened concern as to the vulnerabilities within critical U.S. communication networks. The reality is different. Without full end-to-end encrypted messaging and calls, there has always been a potential for content to be intercepted. That's the entire reason the likes of Apple, Google, and Meta advise its use, highlighting the fact that even they can't see content. According to a senior FBI official, within the investigative activity, especially one this significant and this large, the facts will evolve over time. The continued investigation into the PRC targeting commercial telecom and infrastructure has revealed a broad and significant cyber espionage campaign. This campaign, he warned, identified that PRC-affiliated cyber actors have compromised networks of multiple telecom companies to enable multiple activities, confirming that the FBI began investigating this activity in late spring and early summer of this year. The FBI official warned that citizens should be using a cell phone that automatically receives timely operating system updates, responsibly managed encryption, and phishing-resistant MFA for email, social media, and collaboration tool accounts. Presenting the IT Pro Series with Benjamin Rockwell.
This is Benjamin Rockwell, and now it's time to get down to business. This is where we talk about computers, the workplace, and a lot of what is going on out there. There are a lot of people that have been afraid of the term AI, artificial intelligence. It's going to take our jobs. It's going to put us all on the unemployment lines. It's going to just disrupt everything. Well, it's been around for a while. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is a disruptor, but it is also right in there with every other bit of technology that we've encountered over the centuries. There have been constant disruptions. The idea of computers in the workplace, the idea of motorized vehicles, the idea of the printed word. Yeah. Just imagine, in the 1400s, people were writing down everything by hand. And today, we type everything. I will tell you that I have seen all kinds of different advances over the years in the computing field, where we went from a few people had computers in the back when I first started, a matter of, yes, there were a few computers in the offices. And now, today, almost every single employee has to spend a good amount of time on a computer, no matter what industry we're talking about. You're making widgets. You are working, I'll tell you, I was working for an aerospace company, and we had a lot of people that were writing down their information on pieces of paper, and they were passing those around the entire plant, and they went along with all of the different pieces of metal and everything like that. But then we moved into computers. So every single employee had to be trained on those computers. They had to enter in the information, and sometimes it was pretty simple. It was just scanning a barcode, and then you'd hit a couple of keys, and then you'd go back to building the aerospace widget. Okay, so AI is simply another tool that's coming along. So I don't want you to be afraid of it. I don't think it's going to be the wonderful cure-all that every business seems to be thinking it is. But then again, computers weren't either. They shifted work around. They shifted how we treat work. They shifted a lot of different things around about how those widgets moved through the factory. But did they change a lot of the jobs? No. So AI is going to have an impact on us. AI is going to have an impact on employment over the course of the coming decades, but not like what you think. Now, there are things that all of us need to be working on. We all need to be planning ahead for our future with technology. And what does that mean? What does that really mean for everyone of us who is in the workplace? First off, I cannot stress enough that you need to learn to become adaptable. You need to adapt to this. You need to accept all of these different things. Don't fight them. You need to be willing to learn. You need to be willing to just add on little minor changes to your work environment and just progress with it. Anybody who resists, anybody who fights back against AI is going to be left behind. One of the first things I did as soon as I could utilize AI was I dove in and I learned it. I learned that it's just like using Google. It's just like utilizing most any other application that's out there. You go, you ask it a question. Sometimes it's going to get the answer wrong. Not so much because it's wrong, but because you did not ask the question in the form that it was looking for to give you the right answer. It will give you all kinds of access to information. It will give you all kinds of tidbits and information that you did not expect. You have to constrain it. You have to let it loose. You have to balance your entire entry when you're dealing with AI to make sure that you get the results that you want. But first and foremost, you need to be adaptable. You need to learn. All right, next up is developing your skill with AI. And look, you can go on out to ChatGPT or any one of the 20 other, well, okay, 100 other, thousands of other limited language models that are out there. Okay, there are so many of these out there that you can tinker with them and you can play with them. But once you've learned a few of them, they all pretty much work the same. You need to learn that. You need to develop that skill with AI. We all do. And if you have to, yes, go on out, find it, find some kind of video on how to utilize ChatGPT prompts or whatever it is, you know, the Microsoft Copilot, or it doesn't matter what it is. You're learning how to use these prompts. You're learning how to move forward. You can do this with YouTube videos. There are workshops out there. There are online courses and certifications that are going to help you bridge any kind of experience and knowledge gap that may be out there. And then I'm going to throw one more at you just to make sure that you're following the normal route. That is networking. Get together with people who are doing this. Get together with people who are looking to improve themselves, looking towards the future, looking towards making their job easier. Whether this is in your workplace, whether this is in your friend group, or you're looking outside of your friends and you're just joining up with these other folks that are learning about AI, all of this is going to help you. This is Benjamin Rockwell. Back to you, Hank.
Thank you, Benjamin. ChatGPT's new Pro subscription will cost you $200 per month. Sam Altman and team kicked off the company's 12 days of OpenAI event last Thursday with a live stream to debut the fully functional version of its 0-1 reasoning model, as well as a new subscription tier called ChatGPT Pro. But to gain unlimited access to these new features and capabilities, you're going to need to shell out an exorbitant, well, at least I think it's exorbitant, $200 per month to use it. The 0-1 model, originally codenamed Project Strawberry, was first released in September as a preview, alongside a lighter-weight 0-1 mini model to ChatGPT Plus subscribers. 0-1 as a reasoning model differs from the standard LLMs in that it is capable of fact-checking itself before returning its generated response to the user. This helps such models reduce their propensity to hallucinate answers, but comes at the cost of a longer inference period and slower response. Still, these models can deduce answers to complex queries in technical fields like science, coding, and math faster than humans can. According to OpenAI's internal tests, the new version of 0-1 reduces major errors on difficult real-world questions by 34% over its preview version. The new model is available to ChatGPT Plus and team users starting, well, today, through the ChatGPT website model selection tool. Enterprise and education subscribers will get access beginning next week. While you won't initially be able to load files or access the web with a new 0-1, OpenAI says it plans to add support for those and other features in the coming months. The company also debuted its new all-inclusive subscription tier, the $200 a month ChatGPT Pro. With it, users will gain unlimited access to all of OpenAI's models, including the GPT-4.0, the full version of 0-1, and advanced voice mode. Pro subscribers will also get exclusive access to 0-1 Pro mode, which uses more compute for the best answers to the hardest questions for the company. In evaluations from external expert testers, 0-1 Pro mode produces more reliably accurate and comprehensive responses, especially in areas like data science, programming, and case law analysis. OpenAI stated, compared to both 0-1 and 0-1 Preview, 0-1 Pro mode performs better on challenging machine learning benchmarks across math, science, and coding. In particular, they saw a 75% reduction in errors for easier coding competition questions more reflective of everyday programming queries. OpenAI has been under considerable pressure from its investors in recent months to reduce the rate at which the company at one point was estimated to be spending $700,000 per day to operate ChatGPT, which has been losing money. The company recently floated the idea of incorporating advertising into its chat results as a means of generating revenue and had previously suggested charging enterprise and customers upwards of $2,000 per month for an elite subscription tier. And according to the New York Times, OpenAI could increase the rates on plus tier subscriptions up to $44 per month by 2029. Whether users are willing to shell out that much cash for a product that is still so consistently, confidently wrong as ChatGPT remains to be seen. However, if you're the normal low-end consumer with a personal computer and you may feel that $200 a month for subscription for ChatGPT might be, well, on the high side, you may want to consider Grok. Elon Musk's Grok AI is now available for free. And here's how to get started if you want to try it out. It aims at natural language processing, which includes the generation of natural language text and is used in tasks like questions answering, providing additional information, and helping in writing tasks. Elon Musk Grok AI chatbot is now open to all users as it no longer requires a user to pay to access the chatbot. xAI announced Grok in 2023, and it was tightly linked with X, formerly Twitter, though with many others, Grok users had to subscribe to X Premium to gain control of ChatBot, unlike some of the peers like ChatGPT, Gemini, and Claude. Well, what is Grok AI? xAI is a new artificial intelligence platform launched by Elon Musk's company called Grok AI. It's aimed at natural language processing, which includes the generation of natural language text like question answering, providing additional information, and helping in writing tasks. Why is Grok AI special? It's user-friendly. Grok AI is intuitive, meaning that you don't need to be a techie or a computer wizard to use it. It is transparent. It also emphasizes an open platform for enhanced understanding of its function by the users. And is versatile. There is what it can be used for learning, writing, or if you're stuck and need to generate some ideas. Elon Musk's Grok AI offers an exciting way to interact with artificial intelligence because it's free, easy to use, and packed with features that the average consumer may want and help you in many areas. Whether you're a student, a professional, or just curious, well, Grok AI is worth giving it a try and exploring what it can and cannot do. Universities now offering artificial intelligence degrees. More universities are offering degrees in artificial intelligence. The artificial intelligence major offerings are in response to big tech as they are investing heavily in large language models and artificial intelligence products. Institutes are offering graduate degrees in artificial intelligence or degrees with artificial intelligence specializations. Universities are evolving offerings in the age of artificial intelligence. Now students have the option to pursue a full degree dedicated to AI. As more colleges introduce an artificial intelligence major, it means a computer science degree, long viewed as a pipeline into big tech, has some more competition. The new artificial intelligence majors arrive as the industry goes through change, with many tech companies investing heavily in large language models and generative artificial intelligence products while simultaneously tightening the belts and trimming staff. The battle for top AI talent, researchers, and engineers is fierce. The degree in AI may prove tempting for current and future students hoping to get training and experience with LLMs and generative AI early in their careers, while computer science degrees can cover a wide array of fields, including computer programming, data science, and computer systems analysis. Artificial intelligence jobs can require more specific skills in machine learning and algorithms. Universities are quickly looking to step in and fill that gap as the AI revolution continues to sweep industries. Education is also adapting to keep up. You'll see AI sort of permeating pretty much any curriculum these days. That's here to stay. Carnegie Mellon is one institute that has created a Bachelor of Science in AI, a trend that is picking up steam. In February, the University of Pennsylvania became the first Ivy League school to announce an undergraduate degree in AI. Beginning this academic year, students earning a BSE in AI can explore courses in machine learning, computing algorithms, data analytics, and advanced robotics. Schools are training students for jobs that don't yet exist in fields that may be completely new or revolutionized by the time they graduate. Some institutes that don't have dedicated AI degrees still offer concentrations in AI or machine learning. Something like mechanical engineering or civil engineering will typically have a version of the program with an emphasis on artificial intelligence and a more traditional degree that students might take. For example, Boston University students earning a bachelor's in biomedical, computer, electrical, or mechanical engineering can pursue a concentration in machine learning. Stanford University's symbolic system degree and Carnegie Mellon's computer science degree also offer AI concentrations. Duke University computer science degree offers a concentration that covers both AI and machine learning. Graduate degrees in AI offer a great specialization to those who completed a computer science major in undergrad or simply those looking to get into the field after earning their bachelor's degree. Some institutes that don't have undergraduate degrees still offer graduate degree programs in AI, both online and in person. For students nearing college or selecting a major, there's no one perfect track, and there are plenty of factors to consider. With the addition of these undergraduate and graduate degrees, students who know they want a career in AI now have more pathways to choose from, with more likely on the way as universities seek to stay competitive. Presenting Technology Chatter with Benjamin Rockwell and Marty Winston.
Marty Winston joins me now, and Marty, this particular item looks pretty sharp.
Oh, hell. Well, it is from a sharper image, and it helps you give yourself a sharper image. Are we done with the puns now?
No, not yet. I'm sure we can go on for a long time.
We're talking about a mirror, but it's a mirror with some gizmo to it. It's the Spa Studio LED vanity mirror with wireless charging by Sharper Image. So if your face is out of battery, you stick it in this. No, it's not quite. This is cool. I mean, getting makeup on or shaving appropriately, doing any of that stuff, mm-hmm. you're only as good as what you can see.
Yeah.
This is an 8-inch round mirror. You flip it over and it goes from a 1x magnification normal image to a mm-hmm. 5x magnification. And it comes with a smaller 10x magnetic mini mirror that you can mount, okay. you know, in case it takes that much magnification to spot any imperfection at all anywhere on your face. Mm-hmm. So you've got a nice mirror and surrounding it, an LED ring surround light.
Yeah.
Now that's dimmable. You can turn it off. If you don't turn it off, it'll automatically turn itself off in 2 hours. And we know, you know, a big LED light like that, it might use a few milliwatts in 2 hours. There's also on the base of this thing, a Qi wireless charger.
Okay.
So the whole thing plugs in it, AC, you put it, you know, on your dressing table. Which means what? The bathroom counter or your dresser?
Yeah.
Right? The light is there, so you don't have to be under a light that's already there. The charging's there, so you don't have to crawl across the room to get your phone. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a nice little gift for somebody.
Yeah.
At some point.
You know, and I like the idea of setting up, and I've talked about this on my show before. A matter of don't put your phone next to your bed. This is something that we've gone down this road a little too far in wrapping up the smartphone into our lives, into our obsessions, into all of this ability for us to get up in the morning and start doom scrolling before we've rolled out of bed.
Oh no! My phone has reverse do not disturb.
Yeah.
If I touch it at any point before the time is up, it destroys me.
That's for everybody, though.
let me just say that Sharper Image Spa Studio LED vanity mirror with wireless charging, about $160. But check around because I've seen special lower pricing elsewhere.
Okay, yeah.
I also wanted to mention, for your own household STEM program, this is the great thing for learning, and I don't care if it's for a 6-year-old or a 60-year-old. Our friends at Anker have the AnkorMate M5C 3D printer.
Oh, okay.
It might be one of the best head starts in 3D printing ever. It's easy to get going, maybe 15 minutes or so from the box to build ready, but it's not built like a toy. It has an all-metal hot end. It supports printing at 300 degrees Celsius, centigrade, everybody. That's about 575 degrees Fahrenheit, which is almost pizza oven temperature. It's quick.
Yeah.
This thing is quick. It can print a meter, think about a yard, in about 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And that's with standard 1/10 millimeter accuracy. If you want precision mode, that accuracy is 50 microns. It handles a whole bunch of different filament materials, including carbon fiber. And it has bed leveling, 49-point bed leveling, a 7x7 matrix.
Nice. Now,
if you know what 3D printers cost, this one's kind of amazing. It's about $400 online. And what a cheap way to get somebody involved.
So, 3D printing is a great world, and I've had a lot of fun doing a lot of different things with 3D printing.
You know, they use filaments. I wish they could use hair.
I'd be out of luck if that were the case. I've got a complete lack of hair to provide for that printer.
Yes, but if you could buy a spool, think of how you could repopulate up there.
Just have it start 3D printing hair for me. Okay.
What a thought. We could 3D print something for the mirror to reflect.
Sure, why not?
But anyway, we've covered two of the people you're buying for, even if both of them are you, right?
Yeah.
I will mention one other fast thing because of the holidays. This is for holiday travel. Again, we're back with Anker. It's their Prime Power Bank, 12,000 milliamp hours, two-port, portable charger, little tiny mini brick kind of a thing, 130-watt high-speed charging if you need it, and the front display shows your charge status, how much you're pumping out, how long you got, the usual stuff, little OLED there. It's about $50 online. So if you are going to be traveling, this keeps you from running out of juice.
Yeah, and that's really cool. Anker has done a great job over the years with keeping up with charging cables and a lot of different things. They've got their hands in a number of different sectors. And
I've got two more to tell us about, but that'll have to wait for another day.
All right. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Marty Winston. Back to you, Hank.
Thank you, Benjamin, and thank you, Marty. Public service announcements. Computer club meetings in the New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut tri-state region. Log on to the club website for more information on remote meeting ID. The New York Amateur Computer Club has a special holiday meeting, Thursday, December the 12th. Meeting time is 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. It is a hybrid meeting. The meeting will be at Studios 353, located at 353 West 48th Street. And if you plan to attend the meeting, register first via the website nyacc.org for confirmation. There will also be an online virtual meeting via Zoom. Website nyacc.org. Long Island Macintosh Users Group meets Friday, December the 13th. Meeting time is 7 p.m. Online virtual meeting via Zoom. Website is limac.org. The Amateur Computer Group of New Jersey meets Friday, January the 3rd. That's next year. Meeting time is 8 p.m. Online virtual meeting via Jitsi. Website is acgnj.org. Tech Ed Connect meets Tuesday, January the 7th. Meeting time is 7 p.m. It's a hybrid meeting. Meeting at the Scarsdale Public Library, located at 54 Olmsted Road in Scarsdale, New York, and there will also be an online virtual meeting via Zoom. Website is wpcug.org. The Kingsbyte Computer Club meets Tuesday, January the 14th. Meeting time is 7 p.m. Park Plaza Restaurant, located at 220 Cadman Plaza West in Brooklyn, and for more information, 347-278-7320. The Brookdale Computer Users Group meets Thursday, January the 23rd. Meeting time is 6:45 p.m. Online virtual meeting via Zoom, and the website is bcug.com. Our website is pcradioshow.org. We are heard each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on PRN, live streaming on the Internet. Podcast of the program is available on prn.live on the Internet. If you have any questions for us, just send us an email addressed to hank@pcradioshow.org. In the meantime, stay in touch and remember to do regular backups. I'm Hank Key, and on behalf of Michael Horowitz, Benjamin Rockwell, and Marty Winston, we thank you for listening. Stay safe and healthy until we meet again, same time, same station next week.